Ramble.
I'm king of the world. Welcome to Guilty Pleasures. Oh, baby, baby. Oh, Garrick, how you doing? How you feeling?
I'm feeling fantastic. I did promise that I was going to do this entire episode standing up.
Because we're hyped.
We're hyped. I fucking... Anyway, please continue.
This is our we've done Tollywood episodes. Our first Bollywood movie.
Like, full on.
What a way to kick this off. We're talking about Om Shanti Om. And joining us today, we have our good friend. You've heard Garrick talk about him as the fabled Garrick's old roommate. It is our buddy, Neil Mukhopadhyay. Hello, Neil.
Hey, Zach. How's it going?
Yeah, we got big Neely Wheely in the building, baby.
Neely Wheely.
Neely Wheely. Yeah, this was...
Is that an official nickname?
Yeah, no, it is. I would literally come into the apartment and just yell, Wheels. Wheels, what's going on?
I have been using some of Garrick's media accounts in the streamers.
You took that in the breakup?
Yeah, the streamers and the cat.
My accounts are named Wheelie. ?
Yeah. When I was saying on my Max account, it is Garrick, Sequoia, and then Wheelie? Like, there's a question mark.
Is that you watching this?
No, literally, that's the profile name is Wheelie.
I just wanted it to be kind of in the background. I'm like, Garrick's not home. Like, I'm just going to make this account. I'll just be quiet. I'll delete it later. And then I just,
just kept it.
Yeah, it's forever. Beautiful.
Did you guys know each other? So we all worked together at BuzzFeed. We were on the scripted team. I was making stuff. You guys were writing stuff. Neil wrote one of my favorite videos that I've ever made, which I forgot about until recently.
Oh, God.
The Zach Attack, which is
a
really adorable.
Wait, what was that one?
I didn't know that.
Didn't you write it? I think you did.
What's in the video?
It's about how I get a nickname that I hate, and then I like...
Yes.
Someone like goes into... hacks the space-time continuum to make sure it's my nickname in every known universe. It's really good.
I
still love it.
I'm so happy.
But did you guys meet there?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then you became roommates. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck yeah. So we knew we wanted to do a Bollywood movie, and we got a lot of suggestions from y'all. There's so many... and Gary was like, let me ask Neil. Let me see what he fucks with. And you chose Om Shanti Om. I'm curious to hear about this. We were talking just before the pod that you grew up kind of shunning Bollywood movies.
Yeah. It was a little tough. My parents were not super into watching South Asian cinema. And at the time growing up, there were just a handful of other South Asian kids. So I really wanted to assimilate. Everyone wanted to like be a part of the group. So it was kind of, I shunned the Indianness.
Yeah.
At times, just I was like, I just want to be accepted. I can't be talking about this stuff that no one else knows about. And in the last few years, as I've been working in the industry, it's like, it's something that I want to reconnect with. So I've been more diligently watching different Bollywood movies, and this one, when Garrick and I were talking about this, I'm like, okay, there's some really over the top action movies
they're so dope.
RRR, Bahubali. I mean, they work on a lot of levels. Yeah. In addition to being big action movies, they are touching emotional movies too. But this one was one that doesn't have, it's kind of many genres, and it made me connect to the purpose of these huge dance numbers and like basically movies that are a string of music videos together. So it helped me understand that and embrace it and understand the joy of like creating and, watching these things.
It's awesome. I mean, if you were to make a parody of a Bollywood movie, you would end up with something like this, because in many ways, this is a parody of a Bollywood movie.
Yeah, and this is one of the funniest things we've done on the pod as far as like just movies in general. It is so fucking funny, even not knowing the context of Bollywood movies in the first place.
Yeah, it's meta, and it's meta about things that I was aware I didn't fully understand, and I still found it really fucking funny.
Yeah, because it was almost like, so as we were watching Bollywood movies and being from America, we're just watching it and we're just like, well, these are over the top, but I kind of fuck with how over the top they are. And then this movie, Om Shanti Om, comes out and is just like, no, we know they're over the top. And we are fully embracing it.
What if I put Jim Carrey in Ace Ventura into the middle of a Bollywood movie?
Yes, exactly.
Let me attempt a synopsis so that we can just dive into the delight of this film. You have the iconic Shah Rukh Khan, SRK, who is one of the biggest actors in history.
Period. Of all time.
He stars as Om. He is a junior actor who dreams of making it big. He wants to be a hero. We'll talk about that. He wants to be a big star. And he is hopelessly in love with Shanti. She is Batty McBatty. Oh, just the superstar of the world. And they sort of fall in friendship love. Yep. But he idolizes her. He adores her. They have a million music videos. And for reasons that we will get into, she dies.
She dies.
And he dies trying to save her. And you may think this is the kicking off point of the movie. Nope, it's an hour and 12 minutes into the movie.
Yeah, it is.
But he is reincarnated 30 years later. Forgot to mention we start in the 1970s. Yeah. And he then vows to avenge her death. There's more to it. But that is Om Shanti Om.
So good.
This movie fucking rips so hard.
It fucking rips on every level. Like, again, we watch RRR, and I was like, man, we don't know how to make movies in the States. And then I'm watching this, and I'm like, oh my God, we really don't. I'm not being facetious at all. That is fucking crazy.
The visuals knocked my goddamn socks off. I don't know if you can see it if you're watching on YouTube. I'm sockless.
Yeah.
There's no socks.
No socks.
They've been knocked to the ground.
Yeah.
I had to take them off before I came.
Zach has a full leg sleeve tattoo of crabs. Those are not his socks at all.
It is in the beginning. So we begin in 1970, in the 70s broadly. And it is on, you know, it's about making movies. This is a guy who wants to be a movie star. And it feels, watching the beginning, just the campiness, the performativeness. It is, every shot just has incredible depth. There's so many extras and color. Depth and color always. Yeah. And it is so riveting to watch. And I'm not even talking about the music videos, which we will get into.
Oh, absolutely.
It's just like a normal-ass dialogue scene is two people walking and talking, but there are 200 extras in the most vibrant cloth you've ever seen.
Right, right. It's almost... There's this new thing going on right now where the way that people signify that this is a one take is they'll have hella extras doing crazy chaos in the background because they're like, well, we gotta somehow justify the fact that we're doing a one shot. So let's just have people throwing toilet paper in the back. Let's have people dancing and so on and so forth. They're like falling down randomly. And then we'll have our two people or our two leads walk through this hallway, or like with Daredevil, he escaped the longest one they had. He escaped a jail or something like that. It was a jailbreak while not being Daredevil, and like so much crazy shit was happening. There was a riot in the background, but that's just a scene in this movie. That's just literally what they do. They have like so many extras in the background. And like you're talking about, it adds so much depth to every shot that's there.
If you're not sure if you want to watch this, put on the first scene.
Yeah.
And you will see a disco studio in the 1970s, a crowd singing along, more action and verve and energy and just vibrational goodness in this opening credits. And then, the main guy on stage throws his jacket up into the air and a hand reaches up and our star, SRK, grabs it. Like, you know, like a fangirl in the front row. And I don't know how to describe this, but the derpy just, bobbing his head.
Yeah, it's, I feel like South Asian cinema, that filmmakers come into movies and they sit down, they're like, okay, how do I make the viewer feel every emotion and see every color? And that's the expectation.
Yeah, it's an assault of the senses.
In the best way possible. And that scene is just, you know, they're over the top, but they still function it as like a watchable dance action scene. It's like really beautiful. And like loved seeing the grain.
Oh yeah, you get the film grain. They also used a specific lens type to give flare to the lights. So that's what also just makes the, I mean, it's a very 1970s look, right? But the color is literally bleeding off of the image.
Yeah, it's
so good.
And I mean, jumping ahead a little bit here, as like when they do jump 30 years into the future, it is, the color goes away in a weird way. Like, it is not as colorful. It's like you get more to like the traditional muted tones and all that stuff just to show that we're at our time now, which is... You know, like, it like, weirdly, it's like there's a shift to, like, darkness, almost as if it's, like, a don't embrace modernism type of thing. There's a darker tone to it. I'm sorry. But, yeah, it's really cool.
One, like, early learning curve that I had to figure out was this idea of the hero in Indian cinema is, like, I'm like, why do I keep saying hero? Is he, like, fucking Iron Man? But it is just, what, the name of... That's like the role of the star, the true star.
Yeah.
The movie plays with tropes and like calling that out, the hero, the idea of the hero is like an important part of, you know, how they mess with the pieces later on. Yeah. And it's just, it's difficult to explain how big a star SRK is. Like, there's no Western analog. I was trying to think about this. I'm like, it's sort of like if Brad Pitt and George Clooney and Leonardo DiCaprio
and Will Smith.
Ferrell and Will Smith were like one person somehow, and they've been in every genre of film and consistently been worked.
I think he has like over 70 or 90 credits.
He has 109 movie credits.
Yeah.
I looked it up. I was like, after here, my friend Sara has also been screaming about this movie, or just about SRK in general. And she was like, you gotta at least check him out and all that stuff. This is literally the biggest star that you don't know about. And then I immediately just jumped into IMDb and was like, okay, well, what's going on here?
Where do I start?
Where do I even start?
And it's just scrolling for an hour.
Too many. And then Neil brought up this movie, and now I'm like a huge fan of this guy.
It is wild because, yeah, I mean, in this movie, he's a ham. He is. Yeah. I mentioned Jim Carrey. Like, this is heightened shit.
Yeah.
But he's also badass.
Yeah.
And he's also ripped. And he's also, he's got, like, I imagine, the gravity of a dramatic actor.
Right.
So, like, does he does. And he fucking sings and dances.
Yeah, of course. Man, they are just the most talented. If you want to be a Bollywood star, you have to be talented in so many different things outside of acting that is so, shocking to me, or shocking in our realm of film, like where you can have somebody be pigeonholed as like the guy that just has a very still face but is very powerful and all that stuff. And in Bollywood movies, they're like, no, that's not enough. Can you dance also? Can you also do you do stunts? Can you jump through fire? What's your heat tolerance? Like that type of...
Have to. And they're all also writers and producers. And the director of this film... There's a lot of, like, they encourage coming up in the industry in a way. Kind of, you know, in, like, John Wick, the stuntman later became, or no, that was a...
He was a stuntman for The Matrix, and then he brought him on to do John Wick. Yeah.
So there's a lot of moving in different roles. You have to do everything. SRK is a writer and director, too.
That's wild.
And Farah Khan was a cinematographer, or a music cinematographer, before this for a play, and then was kind of inspired to, it was an over, she described it as an over-the-top kind of play that wasn't a great representation of Indian cinema. It was a play, I think, in England that was about the Indian film industry.
Yeah, I saw the story. She saw a play about Indian cinema. She's like, no, that's wrong. Yeah. I'm going to write something better.
This is the writer.
Oh, uh-huh.
Okay.
And then she wrote it, and I know she has a big reverence for the 70s, but nowhere in that story does it explain why she also then decided to make it the campiest, most bonkers thing ever, I mean, and I love it.
I think that just has to... It's almost like The only way that I can get across what it's like to do this is if it's extremely silly. The only way I can get across what it's like to be in this industry is if it's silly. You know, yeah. Like I think that there's something about like taking the piss out of your industry that helps you explain it more or better.
It's so funny too what you're talking about, like before with actors. Is that when someone like Gosling goes from drama to comedy, we're like, yay!
Oh my God, look at how diverse you are.
When someone like Will Ferrell or Jim Carrey goes from comedy to drama, we're like, yay!
Yeah.
And as our kid's like, hey, I'm going to do that 10 times in the next 2 minutes.
Yeah, I literally, and the fact that you will believe me as either is so insane. It's so insane. Like now that I'm watching this movie and I see him in this comedic role, while I was watching him be funny, I was like, well, if I see him in a dramatic thing, I'm going to think of him as,
yes, I'm gonna laugh.
As a comedian. But the more and more you watch the movie, the more you're like, well, I mean, he's killing both. You know, he's on both ends of this spectrum.
There are shots where he, like, he'll get this intense, long stare, dramatic stare, and his eyes well with water. And holy shit, I need to talk about the fan budget.
Yeah.
The wind machines
that
are relentless. And absolutely. That man has a beautiful thick head of hair that I shudder. I bow down. My little thin ass Jew hair can't stand. single follicles could whip my entire hairline to off.
I was looking at his hair and I was like, is this a wig? It can't be.
It would blow right off. Are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah, you're right. Unless it was like super glued to his head.
He has this, him and his best friend have this like Night at the Roxbury style move where they'll always unconsciously in unison wipe their hair back very like Saturday Night Fever. It's so fucking funny and fly.
There's okay, I mean,
God, I'm so into this movie, Neil.
I guess we have to like
it's just so sick
go through and like talk about all of the bits that they just do. There was also one
I was saying every genre, I forgot to mention that it is a full-on musical with giant music videos, and every musical has 14 setups within it and over 200 extras dancing.
Yeah.
Everything is huge.
Yeah, yeah.
And every set is intricate. Okay, the first, like, I mean, you get a music video, disco music video to open it, but then he finds Shanti. I think this is at he's seeing a movie premiere, and he like imagines himself in the movie. And so the first dance is, again, him and his girl, and then 200 extras.
Absolutely.
And it's pretty traditionally Indian, but it is intricate and big, and the set is amazing. And then, boom. This goes on for 2 minutes, but then you have, boom, a heart-shaped wipe.
Yeah.
And the screen opens up, and now we are in a vibrant pink badminton set.
Yeah. Yes.
And
yeah.
They, holy shit, it rocks. It is, they are hitting the shuttlecock back and forth on the beat, and they are like, it's him, and again, he's never alone. It's like 20 extras, and it's the guys versus girls, and they're like laying on the badminton court, like, rolling their legs up and down, and pop.
I felt embarrassed watching this movie. I literally, because we try to hit this tone of like comedy on a level of like, oh, comedy is subjective, so it's hard to hit and blah blah blah. But these dudes are just going up there being wacky as shit, and literally every joke hit while I'm reading the subtitles. So
it's, and within that dance sequence, I mean, you know, you go from traditional to badminton, that's one of five.
Yeah.
There is a transition wipe where suddenly it's like, I mean, there's trumpets playing and it's like a conga meets flappers. It's kind of a confusing reference to me.
There's a lot of references that I also don't understand yet, but that segment is sort of an homage to 70s Indian, South Asian
there's
cinema.
There's a pirate sequence.
Yeah. And you know, it, part of what makes it, SRK was in those movies
He
can be making fun of this stuff, and it makes it feel...
That's
so
cool.
Also what I wanted to, like, I wrote it down in my notes. It is so crazy how we in Hollywood would you could not choose an actor to then do a movie making fun of themselves. Like, Sylvester Stallone would never be in Tropic Thunder.
Yeah.
And the fact that SRK was like, yeah, absolutely, this sounds great, and then kills it on a level unknown to any comedian ever. It's wild.
Yeah, it's like if Vin Diesel were way more talented.
Yeah. I mean,
Rainey, can we cut that?
Yeah. Rainey, don't fucking say that.
And then made a and then became Jim Carrey in a Fast and Furious spoof that was a musical, which he would love.
Yeah.
You know, I'm realizing I didn't, up until this moment, he's kind of in the, the Magic Mike guy. What's his name?
Channing Tatum?
He's in the Channing Tatum space a little bit in that he's done serious, kind of over-the-top things, but then has done serious things. He's doing like some comedy now. Yeah. He's in legit action movies, and I don't know. There's a little bit of that there. He's also just like a huge ripped man.
And he's like 57.
Yeah.
Like, good for him, man.
Something else I adore.
Yeah.
Unrelentingly horny.
Yeah.
The movie, the songs.
Every time he sees Shanti, I am crying. I am laughing so fucking hard. Because it's just, okay, it is, you see like Not Another Teen Movie or like any teen movie in general. The person sees a crush and they're like, oh my God, this is, you know, Taking Back Sunday fucking plays or whatever that band is. And you get the gust of wind in their hair or in their face, and it's a dream sequence or whatever. In this movie, that happens 25 times. Yeah. 27, like that first like walking down the stairs for prom movie moment happens every time.
The space, I think part of what this movie made me realize is like when you are, these scenes are like a representation of how you feel. And it's like just, you know, what the thing that is going on in your head, that is what's going to be on screen.
Yeah.
And like, yes, you're like fainting and falling backward when you see your crush.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it comes a lot from the musical theater tradition.
Yeah.
So the expectations are more theatrical. You know, obviously, this movie's like 3 hours long, so they're insane.
Not long enough.
It's two movies.
But every scene, you know, the date scenes, the dance scenes, it's just like, what is your own crazy fantasy of like what you feel go in these moments? Like, that's what you will see on screen, and that's what the expectation is. So it's like the special kind of over-the-topness that is personal fantasy.
But the over the topness is so the way that they play on it is so funny. Like, let's say like the scene that really like made me sit on the edge of my seat, like, oh, I'm in here, I'm in for a banger, is when he sees her on the red carpet. He sees Shanti on the red carpet, and he's just like, oh my God, this is the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. And he reaches out to like kind of like, you know, do like a windswept moment, like, oh, this is, she's so fair. And then his bracelet gets caught in her dress, and then he's just like looking down at the bracelet, like, oh, fuck, oh no, oh my God. And then she turns around, undoes the bracelet from her dress, keeps on walking. He's like still like putting his hand out, and then he gets taken away by the cops. Like that moment of comedy is just so well done and so well placed and such a good level of like parody that I've seen. That whole sequence is just so fucking funny.
Lots of bits. Like the first time that he and Shanti actually meet face to face and have a conversation, he is just frozen going, and then meanwhile, without like stopping to explain what's happening, completely breaking the style of the movie that we've seen up to this point. We're like 30, 40 minutes in. You have voiceover of, hello, my dear. It is such a wonderful pleasure to see you. God. And then it cuts to him going,
Yeah.
I would be charmed to have dinner with you. And he's the most eloquent verse. It's just dumb bit. Good bit.
Dumb bits. It's like,
Fuck. There's the one when he's an extra, basically, and he has one line, which is run, and it just quick cuts, jump cuts, a bunch of him going, run! Run! It's so dumb.
It's so fucking funny.
Yeah, it's just, you mentioned that like he's an extra. That's the insanity is casting the biggest star ever as an extra, like, dreamer kind of loser character who's in love with, you know, this the most beautiful woman in the world.
Oh my God.
It's wild.
Just so good. Just so good. Even the scene right before him not being able to talk to her. Like, they are trying to put a scene where something catches on fire and she's like, needs to be saved. Shanti needs to be saved. And they're like, oh, somebody go, like some extra, please go save her while they're doing this. And then the star of the movie is just like, I'm not jumping in fire. Why would I do that? I'm like, are you out of your mind? And then the director's like, you have to. And so the fire gets out of control and nobody wants to save Shanti, who is the star of the movie. He jumps through this fire, sweeps her up, and then in the most like, insane fashion saves her from the fire, and there's this like nice moment where you're like, wow, he actually saved the girl that he loves. And then you just find out that he turns around to like look at her or whatever, and you see that his back is still on fire, like his back is caught on fire fully and he doesn't know what the fuck is going on. And then a bunch of people rush him to put the fire out in like the most goofy, insane fashion. It reminds me of Kung Pao. Did anybody see that?
Yeah,
where he's just, it's a play on a lot of kung fu movies. But like, it's just really, really over the top and goofy.
I'm literally just scrolling through my notes of like, just, there's so much that I loved. Oh, I guess let's just take a moment to appreciate Shanti's ability.
Bad. Guys. She's cute, man. She's also, apparently, and then she was a professional tennis player before getting into acting.
It's like all these people, it's like 18th century. It's like, oh, they were a scientist and a politician. And it's like, how did they, it was that actress's second, it was her breakout
role.
It was her
first, it was introducing.
It was her breakout role for Hindi cinema. And
now her life is forever changed.
I am looking through, there's one scene that really reminded me of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood where they're filming like a Western shootout, and at one point they're flying towards each other, and then they cut to a wide, and they're on blocks.
Yeah,
it makes fun of the movie as it's filming it. Yeah. Very like Mel Brooks in that style as well. That's actually a really good reference.
Yeah, really good. Yep. Yeah.
But he fights a stuffed tiger. And because Kelsey's not here, I just need to read the dialogue.
Yes.
As he is fighting a stuffed tiger that it's unclear if the movie wants me to believe is a real tiger or not.
Yeah.
He says, and I quote, naughty pussy, who's your daddy now?
Yeah.
Classic.
Flip that and do with it what you will.
Yeah, go for it. Yeah, I had to rewind that and play it for Sequoia because that is very funny. It was the most ridiculous thing in the movie.
I think that scene, and I had to watch it a couple times, I think it is he and his best friend, Papu, who we will talk about later because what a BFF. But they are making a fake movie scene to try and impress Shanti. And then in and of itself, it's probably a reference to a bunch of other movies that even Shah Rukh Khan has been in.
Yeah.
But yeah, just over the top crazy.
Well, I mean, we'll keep chugging along story-wise, but like I just kept taking screenshots.
Yeah.
Because it's beautiful when it's trying to be over the top beautiful, the music video sets, but then it's also just stunning when it's not. There's one scene where Shanti and the big villain, her secret husband, who's a movie producer, who kills them. We're going to talk about that in a second. It was revelatory.
It is.
Watching it. And some of the camera movement, but really the dedication to costuming and production design wowed me and kind of shook me to my core.
Yeah, absolutely nothing here is no expense was spared. No amount of effort was spared. Like I remember being obsessed with how much they did for The Revenant, where they were like, oh no, we're not going to have him like actually get attacked by a bear, but we're going to spend our time in the elements and then film this movie. I feel like that amount of effort is placed here with just lighting, camera work, set design, costuming, all of that stuff, just to make it again be this assault on the senses Yeah, just to make it a beautiful piece of work, you know?
So I think we're all big Edgar Wright fans, and I know he has some favorite movies that are campy, but amazing, ridiculous. Right. There's one, Danger Diabolique, that I fucking love, that is this, it's like if James Bond were a supervillain. Yeah. And I know he also loves Flash Gordon, and both of them are like cheesy, bad movies, but visually they do things where you go, I didn't know you could do that.
Right, yeah.
And it kind of wows me that I haven't heard more Western directors talk about discovering Bollywood, because as I was watching, I'm like, wait, you can do that? You can do that? What? It's just like, yeah. It's just sick.
It's... You know when you do a shot list and you're like, I want this to be here and this to be here and this to be here, I feel like in South Asian cinema, they're just like, cool. Yeah, go for it. No,
well,
nobody.
The industry is so massive that they do have the budget to do it, right?
Yeah, it's just like no pushback at all.
I totally agree, but it is crazy thing about what the budget actually was.
Adjusted budget is nothing compared to our movies.
Less than $5 million.
Yeah.
Wow.
What the fuck?
Wow.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So then what is it?
How do they do it?
Tell me, Neil.
I'm really sorry.
Yeah,
I think it's just the practice. The industry is set up for this, and then just talent and dedication and training.
Yeah.
It's all the things. I don't think there's any secrets.
I feel like you touched on it for a second. Like it feels like if the film industry in America was like just based off of itself, right? And then with them, their industry as a whole was based off of the stage. And they're just like, let's just put all of these stage practices on camera. Like, why are we shouldn't move away from that essence and that core. And I feel like with film, we've like strayed so far from God's light and have changed it completely from what it started off as.
So if you're like me, you may read the synopsis. Wow, for whatever reason, that sounded like I was about to jump into an ad. So I read the synopsis, and I'm like, oh, cool, man is reincarnated. And then you're about an hour into this movie, and you're like, am I watching the right movie?
I don't think
did I read? He dies an hour and 12 minutes into the movie.
Yeah, and then, like, boom, intermission, you can go and get more popcorn, because we have a whole other half of the movie for you.
So Shanti's... A secret husband is a big movie producer, and he says, no one can know that we're married because that'll ruin you as a star and it'll ruin my movie. And he takes her to this big set and lights the whole place on fire.
Yeah.
Both of them die, but not before an explosion yeets Om out of three football fields away.
Yeah.
Don't worry, he survives. Then he's hit by a car.
Yeah.
Don't worry, he survives. He goes to the hospital where finally he dies. If I am the producer, I'm saying, bro, cut that scene.
Yeah, yeah,
for the love of God.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Have him die in the explosion.
Yeah.
But it's amazing because you have him dying in the hospital at the same time as the baby is being born. Whoosh! 30 years later, a superstar is born. And it is the birthday of the biggest star on the planet, and which I guess we're to believe that he's 30 years old.
Yes. Yeah. I guess I didn't think about that, but I guess it would be 30 years old.
Yep, yeah, sure. Yeah, whatever you say, dude.
Yeah. I think he died at 30 and then he's 30 now. Yeah.
You're the boss.
I mean, and it's kind of functioning. Reincarnation in this movie is time travel.
Yeah.
That's what it's like. They did time travel in, I think, a more organic, like more explainable way. You don't need to worry about paradoxes. It's just like, no, he's reincarnated. He's the same person and he's going to get his memories.
Yeah.
That whole like ancestral memory thing or whatever, where that all of the Assassin's Creed movies are based off, or movie
video games.
All of the Assassin's Creed video games are based off of just like, oh, you die and your ancestors' memories are passed on. They're not ancestors in this case, but let's say like the soul can retain knowledge and memories from your previous hosts or your previous body.
You get to see Om as the star he always dreamed of being. He is, you know, he's the biggest star on the planet.
Yeah.
Finally fitting the actor who plays him, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that dance sequence is And it's, you know, that's the one with the most sets.
It's a Britney Spears music video.
Yeah.
It is futuristic, sexy flight attendants. That's I'm a Slave for You. Mm-hmm. There are Toxic. Yep. Then there's an I'm a Slave for You where they're like sweaty, greasy construction workers.
Yeah.
It's hot.
Yeah.
They you know, the movies don't have, you know, they don't do sex scenes. There's a conservatism that kind of stops that from happening.
He only kisses her on the forehead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the dance sequences are, you know, really suggestive and like sensual and sort of like, okay, we're not going to do the real stuff. We don't want to see that, but we do want to see the most sensual, like, so wet, it's aquatic.
The dance sequences where everybody blows their load finally.
And he's, and there's some nice, like, progressive gender role reversal there. It's like, you know, we see all 2,000 of his abs just like really glistening. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it normally that would be reversed.
Yeah.
I'm curious if you tell me if I'm wrong here, but, you know, the way that I understand musicals, and it's the same that I understand action movies in Western cinema, is that emotion gets to a fever pitch where words are no longer enough and we have to dance. I need to sing and tell you my feelings, or we need to fight because this needs to go. Not here. They're just, hey, it's been 20 minutes. We should have a dance scene.
Let's
dance.
Let's get into it.
A lot of them are just because.
Yeah.
And I'm totally down with that.
I will say, like, I do think that they fit in, like, with the last, with the one where he find out that he's like afraid of fire because his soul is afraid of fire.
How he died.
That's how he died. But in that sequence, that started, that whole like dance sequence started because they were trying to film this movie or whatever. They were like, and even the other one, like the one right before it, he was like sad because he found out that Shanti was married or whatever. Mm. And it fits, like, not, I don't know, it fits sequence wise. You know?
Sure, I'm probably doing it a disservice by saying that. It's more that the style that it explodes into is like, all right, time for some fun.
Right, exactly. It definitely does shift to a different era.
The genre expectation is there, so it's like, that is what the film has to have. Like, this is what we want to see. Yeah. And like, I'm embracing that now. It's like, I do just want to see a lot of music videos. But it also backs it up with this like very circular, interesting story about cinema itself.
Yeah.
So it's
the movie's not over yet, as they say again and again. There is an incredibly effective and pretty chilling sequence, which again, total tonal shift, where he is walking through. Okay, so they bring him to the burned remains of this movie set town. And he's like, I know this place, and like his past life memories start flooding back, and he walks into the room where he 30 years ago discovered that Shanti was married, discovers that this guy's a bad guy, etc., and he sees his own past and the way that it's full horror film at this point.
It's very creepy because it definitely, everybody's translucent. All of the memories are translucent, so it feels like you're watching ghosts do this thing. And then when it ends, somebody calls out to him, and it cuts to what you're actually seeing, where he actually is. And it's like this really dark, rundown, cobweb-infested room. And that in itself, like, that shift was definitely very horror, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it was very kind of like a little creepy.
And then the point where I rewinded because I thought that I had accidentally fast forwarded. Smash cut. We're gonna do a 10-minute award show spoof.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, I thought that something got cut too.
I was genuinely confused.
Yeah.
The music cuts often are. The cuts are, I think they're so abrupt as part of the fun of the genre.
Oh, really?
I'm not sure, but it seemed that way. Like, sometimes the music is just like,
but the music the music stops comedically every time it cut like super aggressively, it was on time with a joke. I was like dying because of the fact that the music cut out at this point, like the end of a dream sequence. Boom, back to reality. You're being carted off by the police. So on and so forth.
We should talk about this award show because it features every celebrity in South Indian cinema that has ever lived.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an outrageous. It's so fun at that moment because it's like, how is this not the end of the movie? Yeah. It's just in the middle of the movie. It is so long, and
it's so long.
You just get this. I just want to see celebrities partying, and it's like, here are most of the celebrities.
Yeah.
I had just sent Garrick the trailer for Doom, D-H-O-O-M, and I was like, we should watch this movie. It looks sick as fuck. In this, they do a spoof of Doom 5.
Yeah.
Just like having the lead of that movie making fun of how many of these they've made.
Okay.
The joke is like, in this one, he's not going to save the day. He's not going to do this because he's not even in it. And then it cuts to him and he's like, what the fuck?
Yeah. And then it cuts to him in the audience and he's like applauding himself. He's like, thank you so much for nominating me for this honor. Like,
then we have Om is nominated for two movies that are exactly the same.
Yep.
Same script, same set.
Different movies. Different titles.
Movies. And then I don't know the actor who does this, but it's a shootout. He throws a handgun up into the air, catches it with his crotch, and then shoots the gun with his dick.
Yeah, humps the air.
Goes bam, 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 bam. Guys, this is the best movie ever made.
It's the best movie. Everybody should watch this fucking movie.
Classic dick shot scene.
Dick shot. Yeah, gotta do it.
The last hour of the movie, as I said, is Big Fat Liar.
Yeah.
This is their plan. They find the guy, the big evil movie producer who killed Shanti, who killed him. He's now an old man.
Yep.
And they say, our plan is going to, we're going to psychologically torture him and make him think that he's haunted.
Yeah.
And that's his plan for revenge.
Yeah.
And it's brilliant.
That'll do it. They were trying to get him to confess. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You wanted to talk about his best friend and his mom as well. I think we talked about, like, they 30 years later see this big movie star Om and they're like, that's my boy.
Yeah.
That's him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, both of those characters, you get max fantasy in that, like, what do you want your best friend to be? Just like endlessly supportive. Just like there on your dates, which I really like that. When he's like,
I love that.
He's just like, yeah, what's your fantasy date? It's like, yeah, we go to this empty restaurant, dance, sing a song, and also my best friend is there, just like just supporting it. And the date's like, yeah, best friend, like, cool, like, love it. I also think it's a bit of a son fantasy for a mom.
Yeah.
Like, your son, the hardships your son has gone through are rewarded in the next life with this dream life.
Oh.
And I think those characters are also, you know, really comedically funny. And
oh my God, there was like some disagreement that him and his name is Papu, right?
Papu, yeah.
Yeah. They had, and they both like kiss their raised knuckle and like get ready to hit each other, and then they get stopped. But I want to do that with all of my friends. I'm fucking, it's so good. Oh my God.
It's just joy. And in that, and it's like they're on the team doing this whole revenge like kind of scheme. And it's just like that, the second half of the movie. For the beginning of it, like, I'm like, what? I don't know what genre this is anymore.
Right.
It's not a romance anymore. There's no romance.
Yeah.
There's no building romance. It's romantic.
Revenge.
It's a revenge. Plot. Yeah. Yeah. Because, like, if it
stops being even, it's not even comedy anymore.
No.
Yeah.
No. It's like much less comedy. I mean, there are some like comedic.
It's still
beats.
Funny.
It's still funny, but yeah, it's not like the hard comedy of the first half is gone for sure.
Yeah, yeah, and then just the joy of like figuring. It's like, I don't know what this is. Okay, it's kind of the point is Om figuring out that what his identity is and his past life, and then it's like, oh, revenge drama, sick.
Yeah,
I am here for it.
Yeah, it's like as soon as he saw the producer again. And everything came rushing back. You're like, I'm fucking in. Let's go.
Yes.
Like, it's just like, he's like, oh, I don't know this man, but everything in my soul is telling me that he killed me.
I love the scene where he is talking. He's at the restaurant talking with the producer.
Yeah.
It's like Om's character is fully realized. Like, he knows his past now.
Yeah.
He knows what he's going to do. And then it's this almost this like payback-esque The color is different.
Yeah.
It's in that restaurant.
It's super silhouetted action, for a lot of it. It's exposed for the window, so you're just seeing their silhouettes against the bright outdoors.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
So good.
And
it's
as a character, he's like, he's channeling his new life and his old life, and you know, he's realized, and he's just speaking in a way that's where SRK he's his dramatic actor.
Right.
After he gives the speech at the award ceremony, it's like, oh, there's this turn.
Right.
He is actualized and gives a beautiful, dramatic speech.
And it's so beautiful because he was just like, I don't know what to say for winning this thing. And then he's just leaning on what his body is telling him to say or what his soul, I guess, is telling him to say in that moment. And you get like all of the kind of, I mean, for lack of a better word, douchey actor like trope, like kind of just falls away, and he kind of just is very appreciative of the place that he got to.
It feels a little bit, because you remember that scene is filmed with dozens of other stars. It almost felt like this was the actor being given a chance within his own movie to give his own lifetime achievement speech.
Yeah.
And it was really neat.
Yeah. And also, like, say, like, thank you for the support to, like, everybody who watched this movie. Everybody who watched this movie, or everybody that has gotten me to this place, who is probably all in the audience, who are probably all in the audience right now, you know?
We have so much more that we could talk about, because this movie is jam-packed.
Yeah.
But I think we should move on to some fun facts.
Yeah, let's do it.
Fun facts with Zach Speck. We're
back with Zach Speck.
Kelsey normally sings that for me. So Farah Khan, who wrote the film, she was pregnant at the time of filming. And during the Darty disco song, every time SRK took his shirt off, she vomited.
Oh, no.
Because he was so hot.
Okay, yeah, well, that's a
good response.
That's a great response.
Appropriate response.
What an appropriate response. That could also be taken as the biggest insult of all time.
That's like if I took my shirt off, she would vomit, and I would know. But can you imagine you're so hot that you make someone throw up?
That's pretty cool. Did you hear, I'm sorry, just off of pregnancy, did you hear that on Beyonce's birthday show,
I was there.
You were there. During Virgo's Groove, a woman who was scheduled for a C-section a week later just started giving birth. Not at the show, but like she had to leave and give birth.
If I go into labor at the Renaissance Tour, I'm not leaving that stadium.
I'm not leaving this. I'm watching.
My baby is going to be born, and Beyonce is cutting that umbilical cord herself.
Yeah, yeah, with her teeth. It's almost like Beyonce, with that song, summoned the baby out of her vagina.
It's
so good. So good.
Wow. So Arjun Rampal, who played our main villain, thought that the role was too evil. He's like, I don't want to do this. So he got cornered in a bathroom by SRK and Farah Khan at SRK's New Year's party. And they were like, listen, bitch. You're playing this role.
Yeah.
He's like, I really don't want to. And then eventually SRK convinced him and he relented.
Great.
This is another one of those things where, so the movie that Farah Khan had written before this is also a big movie. It's called Happy New Year.
Yeah.
And Farah Khan rejected that movie and then did this movie. So rejected Happy New Year movie, like met the villain of the show at his own Happy New Year party.
Oh, wow. Wow.
So during the award show, there's a big song and dance. You have 31 huge Bollywood stars in that. It was shot over 6 days, six people at a time. They would come to shoot their parts and leave. That was the plan. But everyone was like, this is pretty fun.
Yeah.
So they just all hung out.
That's so sick. Oh my fucking, okay, all right. We suck. We suck. We suck so bad. So everybody like always talks about how like at the end of Avengers Endgame, after, spoiler alert, Tony Stark dies, they were at the funeral for Tony Stark.
Right,
and
you can tell. Yep.
They were like, okay, we have everybody. Everybody was like, there's no way that they planned this out, blah, blah, blah. And they did. They planned for everybody to be there on one day, and it took them 2 years to plan out.
To coordinate people's
schedules. To coordinate everybody's schedules. It took them 2 years to do it. and they had to shut down a town in order to have everybody's trailers and writers there. And it's just like, all right, bro, it's a day. Just show up. Just figure it out. Like, we get it. You guys are all big stars, blah, blah, blah. But for them to just do this, we're going to shoot this six people at a time in a day. And then they're like, you know what? This is pretty fun. I'm going to hang out. Why does everything have to be so difficult? Relax. It's fine. Anyway.
And then I didn't know this was Farrah Khan's trademark, but I thought it was fucking adorable. The end credits is a movie premiere fitting mm-hmm. with this movie, but you have all the lead actors walking down a red carpet and the crew, is just adorable. You had the DP being wheeled down on a dolly cart. Like, it's just what? That's awesome.
That's good.
How lovely.
It's just a celebration of film.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's... It celebrates everyone. Yeah, yeah. The assistants are there, like and they call that, you know, the junior artists. That's what they call extras.
Yeah.
And it's, they're all there. It's just, it's a delight.
It's a delight. This is insulting to ask, but now is the time we have to decide: is this movie a pleasure, a guilty pleasure, or just plain guilty? And look, I could sit here and tell you the guilty things about it because it's campy, it's heightened, but no, this movie is pleasure. Yeah. It's joy. It's a little guilty, but it's hilarious. It's awesome.
Yeah, I think that this is one of the biggest lessons in filmmaking. If you are trying to make a movie or anything like that, for the love of God, put this on your list. I think it should be taught in film school.
Do you think, Neil, that this is even the best?
Ooh, that's so tough. I need to watch more of it. But I came into it thinking solidly this would be guilty, and then it took me on the journey, and I'm like, no, this is pleasure.
Yeah. It's pleasure. Yeah, I mean, it's like I wouldn't. It is so campy, but it's self aware of its campiness that I'm like, well, it's in control.
Yeah,
it's telling the movie that it wants to tell. Right. So fuck me, I'm gonna just get out of the way and enjoy.
If somebody is doing something on purpose and then hitting, especially with camp, hitting that note so well and that tone so well, you can't do anything about it. You can literally just bow down and be like, I'm so sorry. If your vision was this and you hit this with just pure execution, then you're phenomenal, I'm sure, at everything else that you put your mind to.
Neil, where can the people find you?
Ooh, socials? Yeah. 3174. Neil Mukko, NEILMOOKO. That's handle on everything.
Yeah. Anything you want to plug?
You know, I'm just going to plug the industry of what we saw. It's like, watch more South Asian cinema. It's so layered and complicated, and it's a celebration of joy and fantasy. It's like the imagination of what you want life to be.
Hell yeah.
Oh my God.
That was beautiful. So beautiful. The way also that he got quieter as it went on made me be like, I leaned in.
You leaned in.
I got to start talking more quietly.
Yeah. I think that'll do it. I think that also like gives you your radio voice. If you talk a little bit louder.
The fucking grating.
You got it. You got it.
All right. Well, I'm at Corndade and all things.
I'm Garrett Bernard and all the things.
And until next time. The movie's not over yet.
It's not. In style. Good. In style.
I tried to go even lower. It didn't work.